Jack Lesnick.
I'm with the North Country Coalition for Justice and Peace, which works out of the St. Johnsbury area. And I would just like to say a few words, if I can. The slogans that I have seen, the slogans that I have seen, of course, are, can for all be summed up, I believe, in just words, a couple of words, get out. And I think that's all we need. Yeah. Get out of Iraq, get out of Israel. There has been a great deal of talk about Israel and about Iraq, but I believe the mother of all actions is right here, right where we're standing here on this soil. A great deal of responsibility for getting out, of course, as has been said by a number of speakers, is by the people of the United States. It is the people of the United States, it is their taxes that are dropping the cluster bombs on the people of Lebanon, dropping the bombs on the unprepared people of Lebanon. However, what sort of opportunity do we have here in this country to create an action and to stop this bestial activity that's going on in the Middle East? Not only in the Middle East, mind you, but in Africa, in Somaliland, and many other places. The United States has military bases on every single continent of the world. But the conditions in the United States today, I believe, are very auspicious. In other words, the stars are in line for an action here. I don't, as a previous speaker said, put much faith in the politicians and what they are going to do. Some more meat has to be put behind our slogans. Something more has to be done. Some people say we have to take to the streets, and that is absolutely true. We took to the streets during the Vietnam situation, and I think we will have to take to the streets if we have any idea whatsoever of success in stopping this war that is ongoing. Now, what are some of the auspicious actions and situations that I have mentioned? Number one, I believe, is the attitude of the U.S. people. There is underneath all of this an undercurrent of opposition to the slaughter that is going on. However, that opposition has not, unfortunately, found any real political statement and opportunity to act. And that is something that we are going to have to provide to the American people. The second point, and this is one that occurred during the Vietnam War and certainly brought an end to that war, and that is the fractures and opposition that is occurring within the elite. The very people who run this country are beginning to question what is going on. And has the United States made a terrible mistake? Have they now reached the point where they can no longer carry on? The American troops, many of the American troops, are losing their discipline. There are many activities taking place, just as they did during Vietnam, and the fragging and other activities against their officers and against the other soldiers. And the type of brutality that has been acted against the Iraqi people is just a further symbol of the fact that the American troops, the GIs, are tired of this war. They see it as an endless, endless thing, and they want to go home just as those Vietnam soldiers. Many of them, and this happened in World War II, let me tell you. I was part of that. Many of the GIs finally went on strike and decided that they wanted to go home, that there was nothing there. Finally, I mentioned the fact that there are fractures now in the ruling class, in the elite. I just hold on to the last. Short, and I will. They're just one of two points that I would like to make, and I'd be gladly speak with anyone who would like to discuss them further. One is an op-ed piece that appeared in the Burlington Free Press yesterday by Richard Holbrook. Now, Richard Holbrook has been an active member of the State Department Corps of the United States. And when Richard Holbrook begins to speak and doubt the Iraqi situation, the Middle East situation, I think that points again to the fact that we the people, have seen a fracture in the ruling class of this country, and I think it's time for us to take advantage of that. Just one final point, and I will absolutely end, believe me, and that is we talk about the Mideast situation of the United States' involvement there as somewhere starting in the recent time. That is not true. The development and the desire for the United States to control the Middle East and to control the oil supply goes back for the Second World War, and there was a meeting, this is during the Roosevelt administration, between the State Department and the Council on Foreign Relations, and one of their demands at the end of that was control of the Middle East. Thank you.
My name is Miriam Ward, and as a Sister of Mercy, and as a member of Pax Christi Burlington and Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine, Israel, I say the killing must stop on every side and an immediate ceasefire. But I'm here to say, add a little bit, perhaps, to the wonderful statements that have been made. For 35 years plus, I have annually seen, witnessed firsthand the occupation and all of what that includes. I have seen houses blown up. I have seen fishermen on Gaza who are not allowed to go out and fish to put food on the table because the Israelis control the sea, the airspace, and the exits and entrances into Gaza. I have seen circumstances and things that have happened at checkpoints in the West Bank, particularly, but also in Gaza. I have been in most all of the refugee camps in Gaza and in Israel, in the West Bank. And I know I have friends in Lebanon who lost their homes in Israel, in northern Israel, in 1948, and they have been either refugees or fending for themselves in Lebanon since, and now they're displaced for a second and third time. I won't go into all the things that are going on, but in Gaza, for example, the settlers have moved out, but don't be fooled. Israel has not pulled out of Gaza. Israel is sending its F-16s that break the sound barrier every night, beginning at 2 in the morning, going to 4 in the morning, so people cannot sleep. Children are traumatized. That's going on, it's been going on. So this business of when did things start, it's hard to know. You've got to go back in history, and I won't go into that. I'll just say that in a few weeks we're going to have a demonstration of our tremendous military power right down here over the lake. And as you watch those F-16s fly around and waste all that fuel to start with, but when you watch them and you hear them break the sound barrier, think of the people of Gaza. Think of the people in the West Bank. Think of the people in Lebanon. And think of the people in Iraq, where that sound barrier is being broken every night, even though sometimes they don't drop any bombs, but it is preventing them. It's causing an entire traumatized people. Thank you.
And I have information that people want. There's flyers here, so come see me.
Announcement. Many of you know about Rachel Corrie, a courageous young woman, American young woman, who was plowed under by the Israeli demolition squad. Last year, there was a play put on in New York City with Rachel Corrie's writings. And like so many other things happening in this country, it was closed down probably with the help of AIPAC. Americans aren't to know the story. Well, you can hear the story of Rachel Corrie if you go to the Unadilla Theater in East Calais. They're having a benefit performance tomorrow night, so do make a point of seeing the play about Rachel Corrie.
It crowds down to about 50. There's a lot of pedestrians around.
So we all know that the U.S. is giving $5 billion to Israel every year for its wars and perpetuating war in the Middle East. And as U.S. residents, we can't easily just go and directly resist with the Palestinians and with the Lebanese and with the Iraqis. But as U.S. residents, we do have a special privilege and an ability that other people in the world do not resist, and I think it is our responsibility to take action directly against the military-industrial machine that is powering these conflicts in the Middle East, because we live in the heart of it. So I think that, and in order to fight this, we need to take action against every possible angle of it. We do need to politically organize and show that there is resistance. But if people are still shopping at Starbucks, still working at General Dynamics, still paying their war taxes, still doing all that, a million people can walk through the streets and they don't necessarily care. So we need to continue to take to the streets, but we also need to cut off their economic and physical support. We need to show, because in order to build a real resistance, we not only need to oppose them, but we need to free ourselves from depending on them. We need to be independent from what they provide for us. So we need to build communities that can support themselves without the support of the state and without the support of Halliburton and all the major corporations that we're going to war for. So, there's a reason why historically revolutionary groups have often been built around taking practical action like knitting circles, because we need to show that we can do these things ourselves and we do not need the state, and we do not need the corporations to do things for us. And then we can effectively and realistically say, get the hell out, and we can do it. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for coming. Eric pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to talk about getting active, staying active, getting involved. There's been lots of things that people have talked about today. If you want more information, please see Sarah or somebody from Vermonters for Justice, Peace, and Palestine, Israel at this table. And thanks again for coming out today.